This is 19-year-old Christopher Matthews. Back in August of 2020, Christopher was arrested in connection with the murder of 20-year-old drug dealer Tanner Banderet. According to the arrest report, Christopher picked up Tanner from his home so he could purchase some cocaine. While they were driving, Christopher shot and killed Tanner. He then dumped the body on the side of the road, took his victim's cocaine, and drove away.
There's always two sides.
Yeah.
And you know exactly why you're here. So tell us your side, man. Why do you think you're here?
Why do I think I'm here?
Yeah.
Because my car was in a crime scene.
And what kind of crime scene was that? What do you think?
It stated on your paper.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
I guess you guys are investigating a murder of Tanner?
Yeah. How do you know Tanner anyways?
Friends of friends.
And Chris, I'm going to let you know now, just so you understand this. We know Tanner was involved with drugs. We know you and are involved in drugs as well a little bit. We do not care about any of that. Whatever you tell us about the drugs, I can tell you now, I'm not a drug cop, and I don't care about those things.
Yeah.
And neither does my partner, okay? So during this interview, we just would like you to be as honest as you can about everything, because I know that in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, man, they're going to try to give me some on the drugs, you know what I mean? It's not the case. We do not care about drugs at all. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Okay. So tell us about your relationship with Tanner.
So, to start, I ran away from my dad's house. This is my side of the story.
Yeah, tell me.
And then I started doing a lot of cocaine, and I met him through all of the people that I was hanging out with, and he was the dude up in Frederick. That's all I knew him as.
Okay.
And then I'd take him to go pick up stuff here and there, but that's all I really knew him as.
And when you would take him to go pick up stuff, would he give you a little bit on the side for kind of chauffeuring him around sort of thing?
I mean, he'd pay me money or product.
Okay. What was it usually?
Mainly product.
Mainly product.
Because I was addicted then.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Still addicted.
Yeah. Keep talking to us about it, man. So what, since then, since you were...
I don't know. I lost connection with him. I finished all of my legal troubles when I turned 18. And then I just remember seeing him at Starbucks one time with Alicia. And then after that, I didn't really hear from him, see from him. And then one of my friends, Jojo,
mm-hmm.
Jojo reintroduced me to him.
Okay. And then what happened from there?
And then I just hung out with Jojo and Tanner, like, not a lot, but we'd go run him to the plug's house or whatever.
So what?
To the distributors.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I was just kind of the driver. He liked my car.
It's a nice car.
It is nice. He sells you some drugs, you drive them around.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a thing. So.
Yeah, that was about it.
So you didn't hang out? You guys weren't like boys hanging out?
No, we weren't like kicking it. We weren't drinking. We weren't kicking back beers. I wasn't partying. I don't like to party anymore. Like, if I party, I party with a small group of people. I don't like to go out and, like, because most people go out and they drink and they drive.
Sure.
I'm completely against drinking and driving.
So when you're partying, you like to be where you're at and not move kind of thing?
Yeah.
That makes sense. How long have you been addicted to cocaine?
Off and on. 2 years.
2 years.
After they establish that Christopher knew Tanner, it's time to move on to the reason why he is there. Christopher knows he has been caught. So he comes up with one of the worst lies you will ever see.
So, let's fast forward. You said that you know that you're here because somebody borrowed your car? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You told a different detective that, right, over the phone?
I told a detective that over the phone, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me about that.
So, basically, honestly, I'm just going to come forth and tell you that was a lie.
Okay.
Okay.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of work, so we kind of already knew that.
Yeah.
But I think this is your opportunity to be as candid as possible and just tell us what happened, man.
Yeah.
We want to know your side.
He was in a car with me.
Taryn was.
Yeah.
So what happened?
And then we drove down to Pecos. We hit the 7-Eleven, and then we're driving back. And then he tried to reach for a gun.
Oh.
For what gun?
For my gun.
He tried to reach for your gun?
Yeah.
Where was your gun at?
My gun was in the center console.
Just sitting there?
Yeah.
Is it the gun that's in the car now?
No.
That's a different gun. Okay. And what happened?
Basically, he reached for it, and then I shot him.
How'd that go down? Because he was shot right here.
Yeah.
So, how did that happen? There's a whole lot more that happens when you shoot somebody in the head. So, what, give us details.
We struggled for a bit. I mean, I was driving down the road, and then he reached for the gun, and it was self-defense.
Sure. So tell me, did he say anything?
No.
When he reached for it, he just...
Yeah.
He just reached for it.
Did he actually get a hold of it?
No. I got a hold of it first.
You just saw him reaching toward it?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then... I shot him.
You were in your car?
Yeah.
Still driving? Where was that at? Or exactly what do you think that...
Pecos.
Pecos and what, like cross streets?
It was 116th.
Like 116th and Pecos?
It was still by those apartments?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened?
And then I didn't know what to do. I was scared.
Sure. You shot somebody in a car. Yeah. Scary.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
I should have took him to the ER, thinking about it.
Yeah. But what did you do?
I took him to a field.
Okay.
I didn't know what else to do.
I bet you panicked at that point, huh?
Yeah.
I'm pretty scared, too. That's a long ways to drive. Was he dead right away?
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't know. I was just freaking out.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Tell us about that, man.
Yeah.
Walk us through the emotions. Because I told you in the beginning, there's two stories.
Yeah.
Tell us your version. Tell us everything. I mean... I want to be with you and in the car. Help us understand the self-defense part of this.
Yeah, because who else? It was just you and him in the car, or was there somebody else in there?
No, there's nobody else in the car.
Okay, so tell us what happened.
He reached for my gun. I grabbed it, and then I pointed it at him and shot him in the head.
What did he do when he pointed at him?
What
did he do when he pointed at him?
He tried to grab it.
You tried to grab it when you were pointing it at him?
Yeah.
So did you guys struggle over the gun?
Not like terribly, but he grabbed it.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, take your time.
He tried to grab it, and then I grabbed it, and I went like that.
Okay. So you're in the driver's seat. Some point. And did you touch his head with it?
I don't have any idea if I touched his head with it or not.
Okay. So you point the gun at his head.
Yeah.
What did he say anything?
He was trying to reach for my gun, but
did he say like, "Don't shoot me" or anything, or?
He was trying. I don't know, honestly. It's memories that I have repressed.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a very.
But this is really important to get this all out. I mean, this is really for your benefit.
Yeah.
So, and we appreciate your candor. So what? How did you shoot this guy? What happened?
I just remember picking up the gun after he tried to grab it, and then I pointed it at him and shot him, and then. After that, I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Absolutely. I totally get that.
And then...
You drove a long ways. You had a dead guy on the other side of your car. I mean, you're freaking out.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, sure.
At that point, it's like, do I bring him to the ER? Or... What? Like, he's sitting there gargling.
He's gargling?
Yeah.
Really?
Just blood all over the place.
Is there a lot of blood?
Yeah.
Oh. Did he get on YouTube?
Yeah, I got on one of my shirts.
Okay. So, what'd you do? You drove south, apparently, obviously.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I was just like, I found a field, and I was like, I don't know if I should just put him here. That's what was going on in my head at that moment.
Yeah.
And then I put him in the field, and then I was just like freaking the fuck out.
Yes.
Because killing somebody, whenever you kill somebody, it's just, you're never the same after it.
Sure.
You probably haven't been sleeping much since then.
No, not really.
So when you got to the field, what happened from there? Walk us through that.
Basically, I grabbed him out of the car, and then I pulled him into the cornfield. I don't know what field, what kind of field it was, but I dragged him into the field, and then that was it. And then I jumped back in my car.
Okay. When you drug him into the field, was he still gurgling, or was he?
He was out.
He was out by then.
No, and then I took off my shirt while I was driving to cover his head.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It's good. Why?
Just because I don't know. I just the.
What'd you see after you shot him?
It was trauma. Like I try not to go back into it.
Yeah, I understand.
Unfortunately, we're gonna need to go through it. In some detail today, and I know it's traumatic to have to relive it, but these things really happened,
yeah.
And you can't take it back, right? I mean,
no.
It's something that went bad, but you have to own your part of it. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing we can do to make that go away. This is something that happened,
yeah.
And so we just put the whole story out of what happened, and then because we weren't there. Like we knew that you shot this guy, you know, but we didn't really know the context of how that happened, like. If, even if you're just like cold-blooded, execute this guy, or if there was some...
I wouldn't do that unless my life was in danger.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you drive up to the cornfield and stop, mm-hmm. obviously. You know, walk us through what happened after that.
And then I remember just getting out of my car and then grabbing him and dragging his lifeless body into the field.
How did you drag him?
By his arms.
Like under his arms, like a fireman, or by his hands, or what?
I think I grabbed him by his wrists.
Okay.
I think I'm not exactly sure where I grabbed him.
Okay. And then what?
And then I drove off.
Okay.
Christopher claims that without any reason, Tanner reached for his gun that he kept in the center console while he was driving. It's very impressive that Christopher was able to react so quickly and grab the weapon before Tanner could. The detectives will eventually question him about the shooting, but for now, they want to know what happened to Tanner's drugs, money, and phone.
Where is his money and cocaine and phone?
I'm not exactly.
Because I know his pockets were pulled out, and I know he had money and cocaine and his phone on. What do you got in your car?
It's none of his.
What's that?
It's none of his.
None of it's his?
None of the money or cocaine is his.
That's in your car now?
No.
Okay. So the night, that night though, when you drove him into the field,
yeah.
What did he have on him?
He had his ID and money and coke.
And did you took that out of his pocket?
Yeah.
Okay.
I probably should have left it.
But that's okay. I mean, we're just trying to walk through this whole process.
Yeah.
I know little things might not seem important, but they are.
Yeah.
So when you took that out of his, it was in his pocket?
Yeah.
And then what did you do with it from there?
From there,
just took it with you?
Yeah, okay. I took it with me. Got rid of it.
How much coke do you have on? Like an ounce?
Yeah, about just about that.
Okay. And how much money?
he didn't have any cash on him.
He didn't have any?
No.
I thought he always carried around like $5,000.
No.
Because he's like a flashy guy, right? Doesn't he flash money a lot?
I don't know.
That's just
I guess his house just got raided the day before, or the day of.
His did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
So then you take his phone and his ID. Was it in a wallet, or how was it?
No, his phone was still in my car.
Oh, it was just in your car.
Yeah, and then I took out his ID, I don't know, and then the coke.
Okay. And then he left.
He said he had money, too.
The money was mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you were going to buy a coke.
I was going to buy the coke from him.
Had you already given him money, you just took it back? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. How much was that?
Like a thousand.
That's not a bad price for an ounce. Usually 12 to 14, right?
I don't know, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly
sure. Did he always say an ounce for about 12, or how much did he?
I was working my way up to ounces.
Okay.
So I finally had the 1,000, and I was just like, okay, I got it.
And he was going to hook you up with the 1,000?
I'm not sure if it was 1,000 or 12.
Okay.
But I just remember having the money, and the money was straight, and then I handed it to him. And then he reached for the gun.
Okay. But he never touched the gun, right? He never touched that gun, right?
He was reaching for it, but.
So you just grabbed it out and then shot him?
Yeah.
So let's fast forward from there. I know that I can imagine that things are just chaotic. And
I'm in complete panic mode at this point.
I can seriously see that. I can imagine that. I can see it.
Yeah.
So from there, what happened? What'd you do?
I drove around aimlessly.
With him in there?
No.
After
I dropped him. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, sure.
I was freaking the fuck out.
I would too.
And then I went to Tara's house.
Did you go straight to her house or did you go home first change?
I think I went home first to change.
Okay.
You're still panicking.
I'm still panicking, but like it was like a weird panic and it was like I'm freaking the fuck out mentally, and then from there it's just I
you just kind of went into survive mode. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah. And like I don't know, sometimes whenever I'm like I try to turn shit into humor, because if I turn it into humor I hope that it'll get my head out of that. And like, but
how'd you do it on that one?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I think I just started trying to like turn humorous brain on to get rid of trauma.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But
how'd you learn how to do that?
I don't know. I just feel like I've always thought that like laughter and like humor is better than, you know, sitting in complete terror and just.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's how you were feeling up until then?
Yeah, I was freaking out. And then I showered, and, like, I started to collect myself a little bit after I showered, but I'm still, like, trembling.
After listening to Christopher's story of how he disposed of the body, the detectives decide it's time to go back to the shooting. They want to know why and how the shooting occurred.
Carpet.
Okay. But did you try to pull the carpet out, or you just steam cleaned it?
I just steam cleaned it.
Okay. Was there still a lot of blood?
Yeah, and there was like chunks of brain matter.
Where was that at?
Where was
the brain matter?
Just inside the car.
Was it in the back, the front?
All over.
Where was he sitting when you had shot him?
The passenger seat.
In the front or the back? The front.
In the front.
Okay. And this is going to be hard. But I kind of want you to walk me through this just so we can follow this, okay?
You're doing really good.
You are. Yeah. And if you need some water, take a drink. Do you need some more? Is it gone?
I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll get some.
I'll get you some.
We'll get some.
Excuse my reach.
No, you're fine. So when you lean back, you grab the gun, and you demonstrated it. Show me how that was. Was it a reach out when you shot him? Were you here? How? Okay. Show me your body position.
Okay, so he's right here.
Okay.
Say I'm in the passenger seat right now. He reached for it, and then I went like that.
Mm-hmm. You're in the passenger seat?
No. Okay, so Tanner's in the passenger seat. I'm Tanner right now.
Okay.
He goes for the gun, and then I'm driving, and then I grab the gun from the center console. Because I saw him reaching for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shot him.
And when you shot him, what was his body position? What was he doing? Was he just sitting there? Show me how he looked when that happened.
I think he was trying to reach for it, like, slyly.
Okay.
So it was slow? Like, you reached a little slowly for it?
I don't know. It's just like you're not trying to grab it quick-like.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're trying to grab it. I don't know.
So he didn't like lunge for it. He kind of like was moving his hand that way.
Yeah.
And then you grabbed it and shot him.
Yeah, because like you don't reach towards the center console where a gun's at or another man's gun's at.
Sure.
Okay.
Why did you decide to pull the trigger?
I was always told with gun safety, if you're going to aim a gun at anybody. If you point a gun at somebody in gun safety, your intent is to shoot them.
Yeah. So that was your intent.
I mean, if you point a gun at somebody, you have to be in the position to where your life is in danger enough.
And why was your life in danger?
Because he was reaching for my gun.
Okay. How far away did his hand get from the gun, you think?
It'd be easier to show it, like, in my car. But I don't know, maybe like 4 inches from the gun.
Okay. His hand was about 4 inches from the gun?
Yeah.
Going kind of slow towards it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. So, and just kind of going back to it, so he's sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
You grab the gun first. Walk us slowly through that. What happens from there? What does he do?
He reached for the gun first.
So after he does that.
Yeah.
But you get the gun first, and then what happens from that?
And then I pointed the gun at him.
And when you did that, what did he do?
I don't know.
Did he turn away from you, or?
It all happened.
Because he got hit right here, so he must have been looking away from you.
It all happened in the blink of an eye, honestly.
It was very quick.
Yeah, and I just remember gunshot, blood splatter, and then gargle.
Was there argument or anything? Did he say, did you say, where's the cocaine at, or, you know?
I was like, where is it at? And then, you know, and then he reached for my gun.
Okay. So was there an argument or maybe even like a going back and forth a little bit about the money and the cocaine?
I kind of, not really. Basically, he was, I don't know necessarily like where he was at with his life in that moment. And like his entire house just got raided.
Sure.
So like, I'm not sure if he was like in a spot where he was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna take this dude's shit because I'm in a position to where I'm not okay. So I'm not sure if that's what, I don't know. But we didn't really exchange words. He and I never really exchanged words, ever.
What about then, though? Was there, you gave him the money, am I correct on that?
Yeah, I gave him the money and I was like, dude, where's my shit? And then he reached for the gun.
Okay. That's where I was getting at. That's what I was wondering. Okay. And then that's when everything else took place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed with your candor. I really respect that. And I know things went bad, but, I mean, you volunteered to come talk to us, and you did it on your own, so we appreciate that. I respect that. And a lot of people don't have the ability to stand up like that, so, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't, like, threaten you or promise you anything, so it's nice that you just took it upon yourself to be honest. I think it's cool.
And it feels good, right? I mean, that's just human nature.
Yeah.
You've been holding this back for so long. It's a very traumatic thing that happened to you.
Yeah. It sucks.
Does it feel good to have it off your chest?
It feels good to, like, actually release the, like, entire story.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Yes, so exactly.
I'm afraid to go to jail. I'm afraid to go to prison. If you guys call it murder, if you guys call it self-defense, like, either way, I'm doing time for it.
Why'd you bring a gun in the first place?
Why did I bring a gun?
Yeah.
Because I always have had a gun on me.
What did you, I mean, do you think he was going to?
No, I just usually had a gun on me when I did my deals.
Okay.
Were you nervous about Tanner?
Was I nervous about him?
Yeah.
Not really.
Didn't you have an issue with him before?
No.
I thought they tried to rob you or something.
No.
He ripped you off before, right?
No. Not that I remember.
Because we were, and this is why we're asking, because this is stuff we've learned.
Okay.
And it might not be accurate. It's good that we're talking about it. But from what I understand, there was a point, even a couple of years ago, I think they said a couple of years ago, that he ripped you off.
No.
And that Aaron had to get involved and was like, pay my brother back.
No.
That didn't happen?
No. That didn't happen with him.
Okay.
Before they end the interrogation, the detectives have one more question for Christopher. If he had control of the gun, then the threat was gone. So how can Christopher justify claiming self-defense?
How is he threatening you when you have a gun pointed at his head?
How is he threatening
me? Yeah, how are you?
He was threatening me by grabbing my gun.
But once you have a gun at his head and he's looking away from you, why'd you pull the trigger? Because he's not a threat to you at that point, right?
What do you mean? He was grabbing my gun in the first place.
But he didn't have it in his hands, or he didn't touch it, and you have him at gunpoint now, right? Right, and he's looking away from you. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Why do you feel threatened at that point?
Yeah, why'd you pull the trigger?
These are just some things we need to know.
Gun safety.
How is that gun safety when you shoot somebody in the head?
What do you mean?
So let's rewind. You said that you felt threatened when he was grabbing your gun.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But you grab your gun.
Okay. What do you mean?
Am I right?
I grabbed my gun before he could have my gun in his possession.
So then from there, you have your gun.
Yeah.
He doesn't have another gun.
No.
He doesn't have a knife.
He had trouble for it, right? Because he didn't touch it.
He was reaching for it, though.
No, but once you have it in your hand,
yeah,
then he's no longer a threat, right? Because he can't get your gun. Right? Am I wrong?
Walk us through that.
What do you mean?
Tell us how you feel.
Push part.
How did you feel?
Whenever somebody reaches for your gun, mm-hmm. and usually, I don't know what was going through my head.
Yeah.
But whenever somebody reaches for your gun, it's right there.
Sure. So then you grab it though, and let's just go slow through this process.
We realize it happens like this.
We do.
Yeah.
We've been cops for a long time, so we understand the quickness of things happening.
Yeah.
But now's the time to slow it down and let's break it down.
Okay.
To that moment.
Yeah.
So now you grab it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it. You explain. Tell me if I'm wrong. He kind of turns. I'm Tanner.
Yeah.
He turns like, oh shit. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
He's like this. You're like this. Is that correct?
Uh
huh. Where's his arms?
Is his arms in front of him? Where's his arms at this point?
His arms are.
Or is it still here? You're motioning like that.
I think it was like.
Okay. But so from there, did you feel like you had, without a better word, you got the draw on him at that point, correct? So if you're going back to cowboy stages, two guys coming out with guns at the same time, the duel,
yeah.
You got the drop. Is that fair to say? He tried, but you beat him to it. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to help you explain.
We're trying to understand what your position is.
Yes.
Exactly what happened. So, and we recognize things happen fast.
I mean, I don't know. What happened in my head was that he was endangering my life. And at that point, when somebody reaches for your gun,
mm-hmm.
and in that moment, it's the gun's right there.
Sure.
The gun's right at his head. I was quicker to the
draw. Where'd you pull the trigger?
Whenever you... gun safety.
How is that gun safety?
What do you mean? Don't point a gun at somebody unless you're ready to kill it. Or anything unless you're ready to fire.
So if you point... So if you're feeling scared and you point your gun at somebody, that means you get to kill them?
No, it doesn't mean you get to kill them.
Let me ask you something. If... I'm a police officer, right?
Yes.
So say... say you did a burglary, and I see you coming out, and I point my gun at you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do I get to shoot you?
No. You don't get to.
Then why did you
don't have to.
Why did you get to shoot him?
You're right. You don't have to, right, at that point. And that's, what would be the position that I would have to shoot somebody?
What I've always been told mm-hmm. is don't aim a gun at anything unless you're ready to kill it.
Okay, and I understand that.
Or like...
So you're ready to kill him when you point your gun at him?
For the fact that he was reaching for my gun.
So this is we're just going to be straight, and this is our hang up with this a little bit, and help us understand this.
Okay.
You have the gun pointed at his head, right?
He's looking away from you.
He's looking away from you. He's not assaulting you. He doesn't have another gun. He doesn't have a weapon. Explain to me why at that point, that particular moment, that spot right there, let's pause.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's vision. This is a VCR DVD player, and you have to hit pause. You're like this, he's like that, his hands are here.
That's
why did you feel threatened right then at that point?
For the circumstances of the previous behavior. Of his behavior.
Okay. But he didn't try to come back and take the gun, right? It wasn't a struggle or fight over it.
No, there was no struggle or fight.
Okay.
Did he even threaten you?
What do you mean, threaten me?
Did he say, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kick your ass, things like that?
I asked him where my shit was at, and then he reached for the gun.
Could he have been reaching for your cocaine?
He was reaching for the gun. That's what I saw. Slowly, that's what I saw.
So he was slowly moving his hand towards where your gun
yes,
was.
Which is right by
so
the gun
you
holder.
Decided that you had to kill him because of that.
Because he's reaching for my gun.
Okay. So, but there's no other weapons. There's no assault of behavior.
He
doesn't actually reach for your gun once you have it in your hands, right?
No. But at that point, you know, like...
Did he say anything when you pointed the gun at him?
No.
It was just that quick?
Yeah.
Thinking back now that we've paused it and we've slowed it down,
uh-huh.
Would you have done anything different?
Would I have done anything different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have probably never had a gun on me in the first place.
Sure. But you did.
I mean, that's usually how I would always sell. And that's how people always taught me how to sell.
And out of 100 times of doing it, nothing's ever happened. And then this one time, this guy does this.
Yeah.
But now that it's all done, now that we've slowed it down and we did the DVD-R thing pausing, you know what I mean? Like, would you have done anything different?
I wish I didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Do you think you should have pulled the trigger?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you think that was a good decision?
For reaching for my gun, that made sense to me in that moment in time.
In hindsight, what do you think?
In hindsight, no.
You think that was not a good thing to do?
Heat of the moment when somebody reaches for your gun, near your gun.
Yeah. But when you think about it logically... Okay. That's fair. It makes sense.
It does. And we appreciate everything. I don't want you to feel like we're trying to push you into something, saying something different than what happened.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
we're just getting an understanding of what happened.
Yeah,
and we just weren't there. Things happen. So,
in the end, Christopher would be charged and convicted of second-degree murder. For an ounce of cocaine, Christopher will be spending the next 35 years in prison. What are your thoughts on this case? Do you believe Christopher's story? Please share your thoughts in the comments below.